Hello and welcome to Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, Reclaim Your Energy. I'm Leanne Pruitt, your host, and I'm so excited that you're here with us today. We have a really great interview for you today, my friend Lisa Pepper-Satkin. She's going to be telling us a whole lot about how we can kind of just declutter that mindset and all sorts of things. Lisa, welcome.
Thank you. I love that you're doing this. I mean, it's just so apropos right now, especially in Corona. People are clearing out old and making space for new, right? Which is what
absolutely. Absolutely. So now Lisa is an executive therapeutic coach, and you really help inspire executives, business leaders, and entrepreneurs to really take the next big leap in their business. And I wanted her to come on board today to help all of us kind of take that next big leap, get that clutter out of our way, and take our next big leap. So Lisa, tell me, how did you used to be a traditional therapist and you shifted into executive therapeutic coaching. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I sure can. So I created that term because I was loving the work that I was doing as a therapist in the room with people, on Zoom with people. I've been working virtually for years as well, but then helping them really, like you said, take that next big leap. Mm-hmm. And that's the coaching part. And somebody said to me, you're not really a therapist anymore. You're like an executive therapeutic coach, right? Like I'm bringing the therapeutic understanding to the level of executives. And I think what it really boils down to is people aren't staying stuck in the problem, or they're not staying stuck in the past. Mm-hmm. They are consciously and willingly moving forward to a new and bigger and brighter version of themselves. I call it your preferred you, right? And you can have a created future in mind. And then I support you in getting there. But it doesn't mean we ignore the past. It means we bring it along for the ride, but we don't allow it to make all of our decisions.
Great. Great point. I love that.
Yeah.
Because so often, I mean, really all we have is the present. And if we're focusing too much on the past, or the future, it's just fear and anxiety and guilt that they're often letting, carry the show.
I appreciate that you brought in fear, anxiety, and worry, because those are our feelings, right? And I say to people, let your feelings come and go. Much easier said than done, but with tools that I teach people, you let the feelings, you feel the feelings, but you don't make decisions based on your feelings.
Oh, I love that.
Decisions based on your values.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I want to just give one more little analogy there. So feelings, I always say to people, they're like waves. They come in and out. The waves come in and out. Yeah. So if we jump on a surfboard and ride a particular feeling that doesn't serve us, we don't want to do that. We just want to let the waves come and go, the feelings come and go. Mm-hmm. I talk about accepting your thoughts and feelings. It's about acceptance. It isn't about letting them direct us. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I love that, because, it's like, we're not our feelings. We're separate from our feelings.
Right. We are the thinker of our thoughts.
Yes. Yes.
Not our thoughts. Yeah.
Beautiful. I love that. So now the title of this online show is Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, Reclaim Your Energy. So tell me, like, what is Ace Your Space, or the title of this series? What does that mean to you?
Oh my gosh. It couldn't have come at a better time. That's why I'm so excited about this, because that is exactly what I've been doing for the last 4 months, mm-hmm. right? I had lived in my space. Now, when I'm going to talk about space, I'm also talking about the metaphor of my energy, the space in my thinking, the space in my body. I mean, I think your audience knows that, right? Your space is a metaphor for whatever any of us are working on.
Like, but I'm this, really, this, yeah.
It is. And let's go down. And then let's go out too. Look at the space that we live in with our families, mm-hmm. right? Look at the space we live in relationship, space we live in with coworkers, yep. with cultures. I particularly love going into businesses and working with people around culture, because that's acing your space, right? It's acing your workspace.
Right.
But during this corona time, I realized I had been living with clutter. Mm-hmm. And it was creative clutter. It's like, it's so funny because I look behind you and it's so calming and neat and organized. And mine is much better now, but I didn't have that around me, and I called it a creative nest.
Yes.
And it was a creative nest, but it was also old stuck energy, mm-hmm. old stuck ideas, mm-hmm. old ways of being that no longer worked for me. And, you know, I can work with people with their thinking, and I had the good fortune of working with someone who helped me, like, clear out the old,
right?
The same way that I do with people. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what it is. I mean, I love this concept of decluttering your space and then finding the space that wants working.
Yes. Right? Yes. Well, you know, interestingly that, you know, it's interesting you said that about the creativity and stuff. There's this wonderful woman that, helps, like, works with, like, decluttering for creatives, and she has a catchphrase, is like, that, you know, decluttering is creativity. So a lot of times you know, creatives think, oh, I've got to have all this stuff around me so I can see it and be stimulated by it. And it's like, yes, and decluttering it and putting it in a way so that it is organized and you can reach it and get to it is also creativity as well.
Right. And, you know, it's a highly spiritual practice. I think it's a very therapeutic, transformational practice, because when I was working on decluttering here, I noticed that my conversations with my clients were more about where is their stuck energy and what needs to move, mm-hmm. what needs to clear out, and then how do you prepare for a new influx of energy. It's a powerful process to help people declutter their money story as well. And I do that in my coaching practice with people all the time.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And then it flows in a different way. Mm-hmm. I've noticed with everybody. It's just, yeah. I mean, I could go on and on. I noticed too, I have a whole practice I do with people around becoming visible.
Right.
And that's interesting too, like with social media too. Where do you need to declutter? That I still have yet to do, but where do we declutter and where do we want to be more visible, or what energy do we want to attract forth?
Mm-hmm. 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 That's a good point. You know, it's like you brought up so many different things. But you know, really, you know, that's what it is. Like, it's my view that clutter is really anything that gets in the way of you and what you want in your life. Yes, it's those physical piles, but that's just like, that's only the start. There's like so much more to it. And I know that the reason that I wanted you on this series is like, I know that you work with a lot of driven people, but even for those folks, sometimes they're just not performing like the way they want in life. So what would you say is your experience like? What stops people from achieving or even going for their goals and dreams?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's so simple to say right here, but I know in my own life, like, where I can get caught, right? Mm-hmm. So first of all, we just have to have compassion. First and foremost, compassion for the parts of ourselves that stays in habits or behaviors or ways of thinking that are acting like clutter, right? Mm-hmm. So the first step and the most important step is to become aware of it.
Right.
And so the way that I guide people with that is by starting to pay attention to how we talk to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Little things like, I noticed this morning I said something to myself like, I don't even have energy to eat right. So that's not serving my best and highest good. I know how to think differently. I know how to talk differently than that. Mm-hmm. And so immediately I caught it and I was like, is that the garden I want to water this week?
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, it is not the garden I want this week. I really want to water being on a healthier track than I have been on. And I've had a wonderful excuse as to why I haven't been on my healthiest track, right? My sister's in the hospital and she's doing well. But I've used it as an excuse to kind of sneak in the stuff that makes me feel good, but that isn't good for me.
Right.
It's not the track that I want to be on, right? So we all have to wrestle with it. Even like I've been doing this work for 25 years.
Yeah.
And I still wake up Monday morning like, okay, what are my practices and how am I going to get back to my center? Mm-hmm. And so the awareness piece is key. It's the first thing that we have to do, commit to, is expanding our awareness. And a very good practice to do that is to write down, what was I just thinking? Like when you notice you're a little off, mm-hmm. and you can often, for those of us who are aware, we feel it in our bodies, right? We know we're a little off. Ask yourself, what was I just thinking? And write it down. And then it's from that place, that expanded awareness, that real transformation takes place.
Well, and I think another way that I almost would say that or look at it is like, you know, bring intentionality to the equation. It's like if you're just kind of careening through life and you say, oh, I really would like this, or I would really like this to happen, but you're not really paying attention or putting focus or, you know, shining a light on that thing and the things that are getting in between you and what's allowing you to achieve that. It's like you're not gonna make any progress. So it's like you almost be intentional in what you say you want in life.
Yes, and be specific. Mm-hmm. Intentional and specific. You know, I mentioned that my sister's in the hospital, so I've been working with her on her thinking, mm-hmm. to help her like really hone her thinking to get her the hell out of there, right? And one of the boards that we wrote was, I am safe. And she said, I am safe because I have good doctors, good nurses, great friends, wonderful family. Like, we have to make it specific. So I like when you said that. If we get intentional, then get specific with the actions you're going to take in order to head in the direction that you want to go, right? Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, yes. I heard a quote today. I wish I could remember what it was. It was like, if you should expect what you desire, and you should desire what you expect. Don't it was kind of like, you expect to be one thing.
And live into that. It's like live into that. And so it supports each other both ways. Mm-hmm. You know, I like that you brought up the word expect, because expectations is kind of a tricky way of thinking, right? Because we get disappointed. But I love this word, agreements. Mm-hmm. So how do we create agreements? And I think decluttering is a really wonderful subject to talk about how we have agreements, because most of us live, probably I'm assuming, with other people or in spaces where there needs to be decluttering agreements. Mm-hmm. And I have adopted that in my own family because, like I said, I was more comfortable with the messy nest. And I live with people where the noise of the mess is energetically just too much right. for my one daughter and too much for my husband. And so because it isn't just them being cranky, but it's more of a value, like they both really value organization, then it meant that I needed to shift my own behavior, because it was now a values conversation. It wasn't just personalities fighting.
Right.
And so we came up with some agreements as a family. And are we perfect? No. We slip all the time, and we come back together in a family meeting and say, what's working? What isn't working? And then what can I do differently next week or today?
Yeah, I love that. And that's, you know, that's actually a good point. That's a great thing to bring up, because I've made it so often I will talk to people and, you know, one person there, you know, they may be two or three people in the family unit or even more, and they have different ideas of, you know, what's cluttered and what's not and how to act in the space, but they don't really address it. They just, you know, have the resentment building up and stuff like that. So that's like a great thing to actually have a family meeting and figure out like what works for you as a family unit. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the resentment. Can we just talk about resentment for a quick second?
Yes, we can. So
I love this definition of resentment. Resentment is where I treat you better than I treat myself, and then I'm mad at you because I'm not getting what I need, but I have abdicated my desire of how the outcome should be, right? And it's so good. Like if we're committed to radical self-care, then that helps diminish resentment. Those expectations that you should be doing something different than you're doing. Mm-hmm. No, I need to do something different than I'm doing so that I don't have the resentment.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. That's perfect. That's really good. I like that.
Yeah. It's a good tidbit.
Now, when we talked earlier, you mentioned the idea of cultivating calm. Now, what do you think the relationship is between like decluttering and cultivating calm, and how might cultivating calm help us achieve what we want in life?
Well, that's a fabulous question. You're so good. I mean, that's what makes this work so well. You do ask really great questions. So cultivating calm is a call I created for anybody. It's on Zoom. It's on Thursdays. And I started it right when COVID hit, because I could feel the anxiety going up in everybody. And I knew that I had a lot of tools and techniques that I could share people to really help bring that down very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I have a little course called Cultivating a Healthier Relationship with Anxiety. But I didn't want anxiety in the title, because people will read anxiety and it triggers anxiety. I wanted it to trigger calm, right? And what it primarily is how do we create and commit to radical self-care practices to help us get through anything and everything? Mm-hmm. So today's practice may not be the same one that worked for you on Thursday, but if you have a plethora of practices, you can pull from them and use what you need to use, right? The practices I've used being with my sister in the hospital are very different than I use in my daily life. They just are. I've pulled from all of my practices, but it's just a different phase that I'm in my life right now. So cultivating calm is about establishing, recognizing, absorbing new practices from other people. That's what I like about a group call. And then applying it into your life, which then allows you to declutter the anxiety and then have the success that you want. I mean, it sounds so simple, but.
So I have a question for you. What would be, can you give us, some examples of what would be some radical self-care practices that we adopt?
Yes. So every morning, pretty much, I would say without fail now, I really do. I open a journal and I list as many things I'm grateful for. And I know that that's trendy. I mean, I've done it for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And what it does has you vibrating at a different energetic level without sounding too woo-woo, but I live in California. What I like about it though is it sets your mind in the direction that you want to go. And I repeat my gratitudes over and over and over. I mean, I have so many gratitudes for doctors and nurses in my book these days that it's a repeat, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the front of my journal. You ready for the back of my journal?
Yes, I'm ready.
I write a love letter to money every morning.
Okay. Really? And wow, that's interesting.
And it's not a love letter like, thank you for my new Lululemon tights. It's not like that.
Yeah.
It's about like the gratitude that I have for the abundance in my life, no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. It's also gratitude for things that my clients are trying to manifest, mm-hmm, and the growth they're trying to have in their businesses. It's a practice that shifts your relationship with money, because money starts to show up as, you could recognize the energy of it rather than this grasping for what it can buy you. That's mm-hmm not where I'm going. Mm-hmm. It's for, what do I want to create and how do I own my value and how do I find space in the world? How do I declutter some of my old money gunk so that I can receive and grow in the way that I want to grow?
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I mean, and it really is interesting about money, like just so many signals that we get. Now, of course, yes, we need money. But like how our society is set up is like we trade, money is the currency that we trade for, you know, we used to have like the hierarchy of needs would have been like, you know, shelter and food and warmth. And for us these days, we have money that we trade for that. So money is very important. And we have so many mixed signals about money that we've gotten growing up. And so many people don't talk about it. There's so much decluttering that can be done around our, you know, our money mindset or our finances or anything like that. So yeah, it makes sense. And another thing, like, you know, you mentioning the gratitude journal, and how it's woo-woo. It's really not, if you think about it, if you're focusing on like putting down what you're grateful for, it's almost like when you're focusing on, you want a new car and you decided that you want like a,
A white Acura.
And then you see it all the time. It's because, you know, you're focusing on that. So if you're focusing on the things you're grateful for, what you're going to see are other things that to be grateful for in your life. So that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting because when I'm in the hospital, I doodle and paint, and I just keep painting thank you notes and love notes for all the nurses in the hospital. You know, I just keep handing them out. Mm-hmm. And now people come up and they're like, you're the lady, you're the heart lady, you're the love note lady, right? I mean, tell me that doesn't make a difference in my sister's healing in her hospital bed. I can't, you know, document it, but I know it makes a difference, you know?
Oh,
so you're right. That's what the gratitude is. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of growing our businesses too, mm-hmm, if you start to really focus on the work that you're really grateful for, or the clients that are really right in your lane, mm-hmm, you're attracting more of that in your business. Mm-hmm. I believe.
Yeah.
I know it. I mean, I've seen it my whole life. Mm-hmm.
I love that. That's beautiful. Now let me ask you, you touched on this a little bit, but I'm going to ask you a little bit more. What has your relationship to physical clutter been throughout your life, and how has it impacted you?
Oh, of course you would ask one of the hardest questions. So, here we go. So I didn't really start to notice clutter until a number of years ago, an uncle of mine passed away, and we had never been allowed in his house. And then I saw why. Mm-hmm. So he was a hoarder to the degree where it was like probably a foot and a half, you know, like,
right,
like really they needed to kind of dive bomb his little house. Mm-hmm. But instead, my uncle, other uncle, went through because he knew he had valuables in there. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting. It was like, oh boy, that's an energetic that I come from. Mm-hmm. And then I discovered that my mom had a similar issue. And it's been an ongoing struggle now in my relationship with my mom. And it's been a lot of releasing and surrendering that her clutter isn't my clutter. But then I notice patterns of things that she likes, I like, holding on to. And this last whole 4 months, my own decluttering was releasing that old ancestral, I think it was kind of like a contract, yeah, that I had with my mom and her family around clutter. Mm-hmm. And I got rid of it. I severed that cord, and my space is different. I still have, I think, a couple more layers to go through. Interesting that we're talking about, I was kind of knee deep in my uncle's gunk. Mm-hmm. And also very much knee deep in my mother's. Mm-hmm. And my mother's still alive, but it's very complicated to be in relationship with someone else's junk. I wrote a great blog post about that, about clearing out her stuff and what that's like to clear out someone else's. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden now I've had to clear out my own. It's wild. It's a, yeah, wild ride. So valuable though.
Well, and you know, the thing about decluttering too is like, it's not a one and done thing. It's like you go through and you release what you can, or what there is for you to release at that point. And then, you know, you go back again, and then there are other things to release. It's like as you change and grow, you know, in this particular area of decluttering or something, there are more things, more layers, like you said, you call it layers, that you can go through and declutter.
And it's amazing to me. I mean, I highly recommend before and after photos, which I'm sure you do with your clients. Like it's sort of mind blowing. And I cannot believe I lived in a particular way, like just in my creative studio. Mm-hmm. I just had fabric all around and I loved it. But now, after releasing old patterns and old clutter, that doesn't feel soothing to me anymore. I need it all clean and nice.
And you can still have those fabrics. It's just like you can store them in a way that they are, you know, more accessible and more calming to look at. Yeah.
Yes, totally. I love it. I want to see more people get the value of decluttering, because it isn't just about organizing.
No. Mm-mm.
It's about really being willing to release old.
Yeah.
And then find a new way of being with your stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also about creating space so that other things can come in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of that. So
yeah, we could do a nice partnering around that. Mm-hmm. You know, both ends of it, like,
yes,
the actual work and then the psychological work or the emotional work or the spiritual work.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I like that. It's a good idea. Mm-hmm. So now let me ask you this. What tips would you give us to help us free our time and reclaim our energy?
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So I know it is about radical self-care practices. Mm-hmm. So it's about ritual too, because when we create rituals or we create practices, I keep using that word, then we don't spend any time debating, should I do it or should I not? It just becomes a part of your value and you do it. It just is done. And that frees up time and energy, mm-hmm, right?
You're not having that discussion in your head. Am I going to do it?
You're not debating It's like you don't listen to your feelings, listen to your values, and then create value. And I say to people, like, actually listen to your feelings, just don't make decisions based on your feelings.
Right.
I know there are some people out there who work out with ease. I don't happen to be one of them. I need to just have it on my calendar and go for it. Mm-hmm. Or I will win the debate. I am always stronger than my inner bully. You know, like, I'm like, no, we're not going today. I need to rest or whatever I make up. So I think that's it. That's why we develop rituals. That's why we have practices, because then we get out of our own way. So that's the best way to free up our space. Time blocking too. Put it on the calendar and then follow the calendar. Because when you time block, you're using your highest awareness. Mm-hmm. You're using the best of you. If you wait to decide what time you're going to go today, forget it.
Right. Yeah, those are great reasons. Those are great ideas. I love both of those. All right, I've got a couple of other questions I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
So when was the last time you did something for the first time?
Recently. Oh, I wish I had it right here and I could show it to you. I embroidered a face mask. I saw a really cute one come through, I don't know, Instagram or something. I was like, I want to do that. And I had some old embroidery stuff from my mom's cluttered life that I tucked away. And so I pulled it all out and I embroidered the cutest mask. I love it. Because if you have to wear a mask,
yeah,
you gotta love it. So I taught myself how to embroider.
That's great. That's a beautiful thing. I love that you
did that. It's a great question because it's so important that we keep trying new things. Yeah, isn't
we keep it? Doing things for the first time. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I agree. Now, let me ask you this. What was your favorite book as a child?
What was my favorite book as a child? Well, anything Shel Silverstein I loved. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, the book that I remember so much as a kid, it was called Only the Moon and Me. And somehow it connected for me. I don't know where I got this idea, but that the moon was God. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know. I don't have a concrete concept of God even. Mm-hmm. But there was just something about that book and then looking up at the moon, and then I somehow conjured up that the moon was God. And I felt a calm as a kid.
I love
even that. Now when I see the moon, it kind of taps into a calm that I think is spiritually connected, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
That's a funny answer.
That's great. So I think you have a gift for the audience.
I definitely do. I have a PDF about how to fire your inner bully. And it's there's steps to take, and they're really good. They're really good steps. They're just wake you up and see, oh, right. I make decisions based on my inner bully. Like that's a critic. That's not nice. And if we can really honestly answer that we wouldn't talk like that, the way that we sometimes talk to ourselves. If we wouldn't talk like that to a friend, that's how you know it's your inner bully. And it's really time to fire your inner bully, or at least work with someone to help you recognize where your inner bully is getting in your way.
That's great. We're going to have a link below or beside this interview somewhere for people to get that. So that's a wonderful gift. I love that. I think I need that one myself.
It will be my pleasure to do a session with you about it.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Now, if you could leave people with just one action they could take to help them declutter their life, what would it be?
It's about this inner bully. It's about paying attention to the terrible, cruel things that our inner bully says to us. And it goes back a long way, right? Our inner bully is just didn't grow out of nothing. And so the more that we expand our awareness about the voice of our inner bully, mm-hmm. and this is like, you can, all my answers are pretty much the same. Yeah. Expand your awareness, strategize around how to do it differently, and then take action, do it differently. But the first key component is really to understand that the inner bully is part of the deep unconscious process. Mm-hmm. It isn't from consciousness. Yeah. And what I guide people do in, what I guide people to do is to bring it to consciousness, mm-hmm. so that you can then decide what to do with it.
Right.
Right. And a really great way that I explain this, I have a 16-year-old who's a new driver. Mm-hmm. You can imagine that everything she does in driving, she is acutely aware of, especially the day she took her test, right? And it's all of us who are like texting, putting on our mascara, talking on the phone or whatever, not texting, but, you know, putting on our lipstick, turning the radio. Like, we have moved the skill of driving into the deep unconscious.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so the same thing when we expand our awareness about the inner bully, it means we have to bring it to consciousness.
Yes.
So that we can make a choice with it. Does that make sense?
Yes, I've got it. I love that.
Great. That's beautiful.
You know what? Thank you so much. I have so enjoyed talking with you today. This has been such an interesting interview. I think it's going to be a real treat for the audience to listen to this.
I've loved being here. Thank you very much.
Audience, thank you guys for being here and listening to us. I'm going to ask you to take a look at your email tomorrow. There's going to be another couple of really great Ace Your Space interviews. And until then, I will see you later. Bye-bye.